Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. Today it is just me. So I first want to talk about Nipsey Hussle, who just died. He got shot. It's horrific. I had not heard of him until his death. And I did listen to some of his music, and I was Googling a lot to just learn about him because he seems like he was a very multifaceted, amazing man. He was not just a rapper. He owned a clothing store. He was an activist. He sounded like someone who was a whistleblower and was trying to make waves, which I believe many of us believe is connected to his death. He was about to meet with the LAPD the day after he got shot to discuss ending gang violence. He was also in the middle of making a documentary about a man who is a doctor. His name is Dr. Sebi. Sebi. I'm probably saying it wrong. It's S-E-B-I. And I don't know much about that man either. I'm looking forward to the documentary because Nick Cannon has come out and said he's going to make sure the documentary continues. But I know that the doctor is someone who said that he knows how to cure AIDS and diabetes and other things. And when he came out and said that, I believe, you know, anyone who, no, I don't want to say anyone, oftentimes when someone can cure a disease that pharmaceutical companies are making millions or billions of dollars on medication, there are ways to stop people if some of the bigger companies think that they're going to lose a lot of money. So once again, I don't know too much about all of this. This is just what I have discovered in my Googling of these things. But I'm looking forward to the documentary being finished. And I'm sad that this amazing, talented man passed. I mean, whatever, it sucks. But I am happy that Nick Cannon has stepped in to finish this documentary, and I look forward to finding out a lot more about Dr. Sebi. And hopefully, I believe they already have a suspect in the Nipsey Hussle shooting, so I hope they find out who did this soon. There was a vigil last night in LA that ended very, very badly. There was like a loud noise. I'm not sure if it was gunshots or what, but it created like a huge stampede. So I believe a woman was badly injured. I hope she's okay. I think she got like hit by a car. Like people, there was like a panic and the stampede happened and people were injured. So everyone just try to stay safe. Hold on. I just got a text. I'm sorry. I have my phone out because I have all my topics on there, but I got an important text. So I'm just going to quickly. So, okay. Anyway, sorry about that, guys. Okay. So yeah, stay. When I say, okay, so there's something that I'm really working with that I'm sure we're all trying to work with. And I've talked about this before where it's, you want to speak your truth and you want to be a whistleblower in a sense, right? We don't want corporations or people or whatever to get away with things. However, there's a way to speak your truth. And this has nothing, I'm not trying to say that Nipsey Hussle did or did not do this. I'm just trying to say this in general because it's something I've been working with. There's a way to get out your truth and navigate these situations that's maybe a little safer than other ways. And I'm still learning this dance, but it is important to speak your truth. It is like, you know, the Me Too movement when it comes to speaking against racism, sexism, animal rights. I think it's very important that so many of us protest behavior that's harmful and hurtful and puts down a group of people or even hurtful animals. And like I said, animals in cages still even like fish and fish tanks, like it gets me so mad. And yet I myself have learned I will always fight for human rights, animal rights, environmental rights. And this is only my way of doing it. Everyone has to find their own way and purpose. But I did find, because, you know, before I was a comedian or anything, I was doing animal rights activists. I saw videos of how animals were being slaughtered in factory farms. And I couldn't ignore it. It was so disturbing and upsetting. And if you call yourself an animal lover, it doesn't mean that you necessarily don't eat meat. But if you're an animal lover, it's hard to watch what goes down in those factory farms and sleep well at night. It's really fucking awful what goes on. And like I said, we're all connected, so we can feel the pain of the animals, of the planet, as we plunge these pipes continuously into her and don't appreciate all the resources that this planet gives. So we feel these things. And yet, like I said, there are ways, I think, to make waves and to be whistleblowers. And I think it's important that we continue to speak up, and not just about those things, but speak up about what's going on inside and the sadness or the anger or whatever that we struggle with. And I think the only reason why it's a struggle is because so many of us are still not honest about what we're going through. So it's still hard for many of us to be completely honest about what we're going through. But you know, I've been saying this for a while. We're in a tipping point where enough is enough, and we want to feel less alone. We want to really see that we're making a difference in this world, and I know we can. There are so many pessimists that think it's even too late to help save Gaia, planet Earth. I disagree. We live in a beautiful planet. Yes, things are fucked up. Global warming is real, even though some politicians like to pretend it's not, which to me is completely batshit nuts, but whatever. We can still make a difference, but we have to start communicating more, even in our personal lives. Everything is connected. So if you're an environmentalist and you're fighting for those things, but then you're not in your personal life communicating or treating people kindly, then in a sense, you can fight for the environment, but if your personal life's a mess, you're actually, in a sense, hurting the planet there, which I'll have to explain more in a sense. But when in your personal life, you're mistreating people, it's almost like a karmic, it's a cyclical thing. So if you're mean to someone, they might go and hurt an animal or hurt a planet or hurt a person. So we all just want to have more awareness in how we treat everything. I hope that makes sense. I only woke up, I guess I woke up a couple hours ago to take Shane to school. My adorable, amazing son, who's going to be 13 in August. Like, are you kidding me? It has been wild raising an almost teenager, because he's getting taller and taller, and he just, he kind of tells me what to do sometimes, to be honest. And we have a joke. I think I've said this before, where him and I have a joke where I always pretend I'm going to write Dr. Phil, and I always do like a Southern accent. I'm like, "Dear Dr. Phil, my son's bullying me again." But he doesn't really bully me, but he doesn't listen to me all the time, which is great, because I don't want him just listening if he doesn't agree. But I'm still trying to. It's all, parenting is such a dance, a continuous dance of like, sometimes I'm like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to yell at him and make him do this thing or just go, okay. Because I don't like forcing anyone really to do anything. And yet sometimes I'm like, no, seriously, brush your teeth. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, like, take care of your freaking teeth. And he does. He listens to me there. So I guess I'm like, if he's listening to like the most important things, which, like I said, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, not every day. I don't care if you shower every day, but you know what I mean? Like, then it's hard for me to, like, I don't know. I'm not strict for strict's sake. Like, I'm your mother, you must listen. Like, I try not to be that person. I chopped my hair even shorter. And at first I like completely bleached it, like bleach blonde. But then I added this like light, cool pink to it. So I've got funky, short, pink hair. I am totally stoked. And I'm probably going to just keep playing with my hair and doing whatever I want. And I love that there are some people out there who like to gossip and hate on it. Suck my dick. Like, everyone listening, you are allowed to experiment with your looks, with how you dress, live your life. And people who want to talk shit, I mean, whatever, they got their own shit going on. But it's also interesting being a comedian and a healer, because both are beautiful worlds. But I have found, especially in like the comedy world, that some of these people can get really clicky and talk shitty and all that. And you just can't let people, I'm sure a lot of you have that with like work situations, like those people, they're covering up their own stuff. Don't even, you got to live your life for you. Anyone who wants to talk shit, don't even worry about it. Let them be over there like fucking chickens. First of all, I love chickens, not to eat them, but just in general. But you know what I mean? Like, let them squawk. Like, it doesn't freaking matter. Do you. As long as you're not hurting people, dye your hair whatever color you want, wear whatever funky outfit you want, chase your dreams. Like, I'm just over people being like for real haters. It's just like, yo, go get a better therapist or a healer. Stop it. I saw the new season of The OA on Netflix. If you have not watched The OA, you need to watch it. I think it's one of the best shows out there. The second season did not disappoint at all. If not, I think it raised the bar even higher. I don't want to give away too much, but I will say that they play with dimensions, you know, parallel realities, multiple universe theory, portals. It's amazing. And I think that they tackle the subject so beautifully. And in a sense, I think they're tackling the singularity of like all of these multiverses, in a sense, kind of merging a bit. Just our awareness that there are parallel realities and that our lives in this particular dimension affects the entire, it's like it ripples into all of the others. The OA really tackles that beautifully. So, oh, and the main actress, Britt Marling, who I loved from the first one, but I didn't realize until I finished the second, because man, the ending is fucking amazing and mind-blowing. After I saw the ending to the second season, I was like, who's the writer of this? And when I discovered that she's one of the creators and writers, so not only is she the main actress, Britt Marling, but that she also created and like co-writes it, I was like, yo, this woman is a fucking badass genius. And I believe that she was on a course like headed to Wall Street. I think she was interning in Wall Street. I'm not sure if she had like a job there yet, although an internship is in that realm. But I believe that she was like entering that world. And then in a sense, she calls it a near-death experience. I don't want to get too much. I would love to have her on the podcast and really get into this. But she had an experience that let her see her death if she continued that life path, and then completely decided to go in a whole other route. And I just think she's an incredible, badass, brilliant genius. And I can't wait to see a third season. So I would watch The OA. Oh, and my amazing friend, Jess Grippo, she, if you want to check out her YouTube video, she has both, she did a flash mob dance of the five movements from The OA, I believe in front of Trump Tower. So go check that out. But then she also has a tutorial if you want to learn the movements on her YouTube channel. And me, Jess, and Allison Charles all have our show Comedy Seance coming up this Sunday, April 7th at 6:00 p.m. New York Comedy Club. Promo Seance for $10 tickets, and New York Comedy Club's 4th Street East Village location. So any of you who want to come check us out, who are in the area, I promise you it's going to be a fun freaking show. And I might have a surprise special guest who has not been on any of the posters or anything. I'm trying to convince him to do something there. I can't even say, because he is making sure he makes no promises, which once again, you got to do what you got to do. So I'm all about it, but please come this Sunday. But you might be listening to this in a couple months, and in that case, come to the next Comedy Seance. I want to talk about The X-Files, which I have always been a fan of, as you all can imagine. I love extraterrestrial, supernatural topics. I think it's all real. I think the government knows a lot of shit that they don't tell the masses for various reasons. I think some is because they're trying to not create mass hysteria, and others is because they don't want us to incorporate the newer, more evolved technology. So I think there are many reasons why things aren't disclosed. But man, the X-Files are incredible. And I was watching, there was this one interview on Jimmy Kimmel with David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, who play Mulder and Scully on the X-Files. And man, I was like, their chemistry in real life, I mean, twin flames, obviously. That didn't come through, though, till really like a couple days ago. But I was watching them and I was like, holy shit, like their chemistry is insane. So then I like went into a whole YouTube research spin of their chemistry, both on the X-Files and in interviews. And oh my gosh, I hope to see more X-Files stuff with them, because they are a sexy, fiery, amazingly talented unit, even though they're not like romantically together yet. But I mean, I bet you they've done stuff. You have to watch this Jimmy Kimmel interview with the two of them. It's remarkable. We've talked about this before, but I have a listener who does prison pen pals. I reached out to her and haven't heard back yet, but any of you who know anyone in prison who would like to get their story out, I would like to do that more. So if any of you have a friend, acquaintance, family member who's in jail, guilty, innocent, I don't care. But if any of them have a story they want to get out, have them write a letter or an email. And my email is kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. I would like to start reading maybe even like once a week. It doesn't have to take up too much time, but I would like to get people's stories out, because a lot of people are unfairly in prison, or maybe even fairly in prison, but I think it's time we stop burying people in prison. I mean, first of all, it was time to stop doing that years and years and years and years ago. I guess it was never okay to do it, you know what I'm saying? But it's time that we, once again, remember that we're all connected, and we don't want anyone rotting away. We want to really heal the entire collective. And like I said, there are tons of people in prison whose stories have been buried, who've been put unfairly, have been unfairly put there, or they just had the cards stacked against them since they were born. So let's start coming together and hearing those stories and seeing what we can do. So anyone who wants to send me an email, that means even if you get their letter, you can like translate it into the email to get it to me. Or you can email me and ask me for my address to send their letter directly. I don't want to just give my address on this podcast, obviously. I also saw the HBO documentary, The Inventor, about Elizabeth Holmes. She is an inventor who created this thing, Theranos, which is like a mini lab that she wanted to essentially kind of get rid of LabCorp and LabQuest or whatever. I'm messing up the names, but you know what I mean. So she didn't like that you have to go to these places. She didn't like that to give blood, you have to have that like needle going in your skin. So she created this thing where it just pricks your finger and you use this like little nanotube. It's like a really small amount of blood. And then this Theranos mini lab could run all these tests and see, you know, if you have any issues. And then they had like so many tests. They had like a menu of tests you could run. And Walgreens in Arizona picked them up. But it turned out, I think the idea is still brilliant. I honestly think that they needed more time before putting it out to the masses. But what ended up happening was, because they rushed the process, there were a lot of lies going on. Oftentimes they weren't running, most of the time they weren't running the tests through Theranos. They were actually using other methods that you use anyway to run the tests. And then the Theranos mini labs, when they did get results from them, they weren't matching up with test results that you get like when you go to LabCorp and stuff. So But she was lying a lot to investors and people, and she eventually got caught, and then it got shut down. But it's an incredible documentary. Like I said, I think it's still a brilliant idea. I hope it's not completely buried. She, I think, is doing all right, although she has to now go to court for like wire fraud and all sorts of things. It kind of reminded me a little bit, in a sense, of the Fyre Festival, where both in a sense, well, yes and no, because the Fyre Festival is not like Theranos in the fact that she was trying to really help save people's lives. The Fyre Festival, not necessarily, although I still think it was a good idea if it had been executed properly. But that's where I saw the similarity, is like with any great idea, patience is so crucial. And I have been struggling with patience my whole life. It's not something easy for me, but watching the documentary again, once again, showed me the importance of slowly bringing something in. Not easy at all, but when you try to speed things up, the consequences can be completely disastrous, including jail time. You know, I think for the dude that did the Fyre Festival is serving time in jail, and now this woman Elizabeth might, but she's like recently engaged to this other dude. I don't know. There were actually a lot of similarities in the documentaries of the Fyre Festival and Theranos, which is the inventor on HBO. So I would recommend watching it. But like I said, I like the idea. I don't think she meant... I mean, look, it's not an excuse for her. She did a lot of lying and a lot of fucked up shit, but I think her overall intention was really to bring in this mini lab and help change lives. So hopefully somehow that can still come out to the masses. There was this whole Cardi B thing. There was a hashtag surviving Cardi B that was trending because she did like an Instagram live 3 years ago. First of all, I don't know who is recording people's Instagram lives and then bringing them out years later. Like who's doing these things? Like it's so weird. But anyway, so someone had recorded her Instagram live from 3 years ago where she was responding to haters coming at her. And she basically said like, you don't know what it took to get here. And then she kind of like, I don't want to say bragged, but like, she was like, I had to drug and rob dudes to get here, essentially. So this came back up and obviously people were upset because they were saying like, first of all, obviously it's never okay to drug and rob people. Obviously. And a lot of people are upset because they're like, yo, if that was a dude who said that, like obviously Cosby or whoever, like, or R. Kelly. That's why the hashtag is surviving Cardi B, because they're comparing it to R. Kelly. Although I really don't think you can compare Cardi to R. Kelly. I mean, R. Kelly had like a, maybe still has like a sex dungeon, whatever. But yeah, I mean, who knows what Cardi's really alluding to? I don't want to assume. I'm obviously a fan of Cardi's, but I don't like that. So like, I think we all need more information there. Maybe, I don't know. I feel even weird talking about it because I feel like she gets so much heat already. But if that's true, if she really fucking did that, I mean, she put up an Instagram thing kind of saying sorry, where she's like, look, I'm not proud of my past. And, you know, I'm glad she said that, but like, there still wasn't really, an apology there. And I think everyone can change and grow. I do believe that, anyone, but you first have to really take accountability. And like I said, who knows what really went down there, but in the video where she's bragging about it, it does sound like she drugged and robbed dudes. And if you do that, I mean, that's fucking jail time. Obviously there aren't any people that have come out. So, you know, it looks like she'll be fine. And I just hope that, look, I personally do not want Cardi to go to jail. I think she's so talented. I think she has a really kind heart, but like whatever that is or was, like that can't, you know, like no drugging or robbing anyone, obviously. Like you do that, you go to jail. Now, if you have a past where you did shit like that, or you robbed people, or maybe you even murdered people, I don't fucking know. Just make sure you fucking heal and you don't do that shit anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be this idiot here being like, now go turn yourself into the cops. Some of you have turned a new leaf. You have families. Okay. But make sure that you don't justify that behavior either. Like, it's okay to have a past that you don't like, that's fine, but make sure you're going to a therapist or a healer and that you're getting this out and making sure that you don't do shit like that anymore. That'll be, it's a tricky thing to even talk about. It makes me nervous because I'm trying not to like condemn or be too judgmental while also condemning that behavior, because any of that shit is obviously wrong, man or woman. Like, you don't fucking do that. I still think Bruno Mars is Cardi B's twin flame. And I think if they were together, a lot of healing would take place. Not that healing isn't taking place with Offset, but I'm not really that much of a fan. Maybe I will be in the future, but no. Okay, so love Bruno Mars, obviously love Cardi and Bruno's Please Me music video, like, hello. I just need to say this. I'm a huge fucking fan of Drew Barrymore, and I have been forever. She is a fucking wild flower child who, I mean, right now she isn't as flower child as she has been in her past, but she's just an amazing person and actress. And I watched the third season of Santa Clarita Diet. Really amazing. So please watch it. And let me tell you, when we watch different series and documentaries, in a sense, it is a kind of research. So just be aware of what you're gravitating towards and what you're getting out of it. You don't need to shit on yourself for watching a full Netflix series if that's what your heart's telling you to do. But be aware of what lessons are coming through. And in Santa Clarita Diet, the premise is she's a suburban housewife with a daughter and her husband, who I love. It's Timothy Oliphant, I think is how you say his name. And they're just an incredible, I think they might be twin flames actually, but I haven't come to a definite decision there, but man, they have fire and I love them as a couple. But she becomes a zombie. It's a great series. It's definitely got a lot of violence in it in terms of she eats people. But for me, even the lesson in that, it's really about our primal behavior that we often suppress. So as she gets bit, her whole life changes because she lets her inner primal forces out. And she still tries to be a good person. And she tries to only kill, like, essentially Nazis to eat, because she needs to eat humans to survive. So I love it. So that's Santa Clarita Diet for any of you who haven't seen it. I saw this. Oh, and basically the rest of this podcast, I'm going to be talking about different pop stars because they've all been kind of coming in very strong. And I think it's a very important message that even with fame and money and everything, it doesn't guarantee you an easy life. You gotta go within, you gotta look at yourself, you gotta do the healing work, you gotta communicate, and you gotta get honest. Which brings me to Justin Bieber, who is having a very tough time, as he has, you know, openly discussed in his recent Instagram posts. I've said this before, I do not think Hailey Bieber, Baldwin, whatever, is his twin flame. I have nothing against her. I believe it's Selena Gomez, and I think him and Selena are both suffering apart from each other. I think Justin Bieber has a very enmeshed relationship with his mother, Patti Millett, and I think that contributes to it. You can tell Patti isn't very much a fan of Selena, which I think harms the whole thing. But recently, Justin, because he's calling it like his childhood issues or whatever, he's like now sleeping in an oxygen tank. Like, I'm sorry, if you're sleeping in an oxygen tank, like, you have to change some things. Like, and I don't mean like, look, if you're sleeping in an oxygen tank because you have like a really bad disease or whatever, of course, but like, I'm sorry. And I don't even like saying this shit because people get all fucking touchy, but man, like, yo, if you're sleeping in an oxygen tank, like, I don't know, man. Maybe you just don't want to sleep in the bed with your new wife. Okay, there you go. I'll say it. And everyone likes to come at me when I say shit like that. I'm just trying to be honest with what I think. And it's the mind, body, spirit connection. If you don't listen to your body starts to break down. And some people are so terrified to set boundaries and listen and change up their way of life that they'd rather go and sleep in an oxygen tank, I guess. It's like, guys, our bodies are sensitive, amazing vessels of truth. We need to start listening to them. And a lot of us need rest right now. And so many people are just scared to rest. So many people are getting sick. Oh my gosh. I have a lot of friends actually who got like the stomach flu a million times and all sorts of things. You have to rest. No one likes when I say this because they almost want to come at me like, oh, lucky for you. No, not lucky for me. This hasn't been an easy journey. I couldn't walk for 2 weeks last year because I do have Lyme disease. And when I don't listen so intensely to my body, it breaks down. You have to listen. So this did not come easy. It came because I could not even walk for 2 weeks because I refused to listen. I heard my body and then I pushed over it. I overrode my system. So it's time we start listening. And it brings me to Emilia Clarke, mother of dragons in Game of Thrones, who just came out with her incredible brave story of having two brain aneurysms and multiple brain surgeries. So after shooting the first season, I think even before she blew up and got famous, she already had the stress and the pressure because it's a lot to take on that role in Game of Thrones. But she was like really, she admits she was like going hard and she worked out extra hard and like at the gym, it felt like a band. She said like a elastic band snapped around her head and like she said the pain was unreal and she thought she was going to die. The ambulance took her to the ER. This happened multiple times. And I'm obviously a fan of Emilia Clarke. I think she's incredible. I've said multiple times, I think her twin flame is Kit Harington. Not backing down from that. Nothing against Rose Leslie, whatever. But Emilia wasn't listening to her body. You know, sorry, I hate, but like, you can't push it too hard. We live in a society where everyone is pushing themselves. Now, I'm not saying don't push yourselves another way. I'm a motivated motherfucker. I'm always trying to push my limits creatively, spiritually, but I'm also really trying to slow down and feel into my system. So I think it's just another lesson to all of us of, famous or not, you have to listen to your bodies. Even if externally, everything looks perfect. And she said that she thought she had finally, Emilia, she thought she had finally reached her goal. She had her dream come true. And then she really thought she was going to die several times. So it's like, you can have the perfect, what, quote unquote, perfect wife or husband externally looking wise or job or family. But if you're not feeling fulfilled, you have to listen to that. It's your body telling you a truth. Fulfillment has a whole other language to it. Our souls knows what it needs. Even if externally things look like, oh, I should be happy. What are you talking about? You know how many times I've met someone where they're like, isn't he so nice or isn't she so lovely? I'm like, that person's like a serial killer. Like, listen to your bodies. I don't care if a situation looks good externally. It's time we feel into it. But man, that's really hard to do when you went through a lot of trauma and you disconnected from your bodies. But it's time to freaking change it up, people. But I do love Emilia and I'm glad that she's doing better now. I am so fucking ready for the Game of Thrones last season. I believe the date I've written down, the premiere of Game of Thrones is April 14th, Sunday at 9:00. I am fucking ready. Okay. Oh, I also want to talk about JoJo Siwa. She's a very, very famous YouTube star. She was on like the whole Dance Moms show and then she got famous. She's great, but I can feel in her system that overriding. There's a forced, like the way she talks is very like, it's like too like hi all the time, and I can relate to that in many ways. I had to be the overly happy cheerleader. Thank God I'm not that anymore because it was too much wasted energy, and sometimes I'm just a cranky fucking bitch, but not really a bitch. We're all allowed to have the full range of emotions. But I like her, but I really want to see, first of all, this really tight ponytail that she does and sometimes Ariana does. that can actually hurt your head. I want to make a statement to anyone who's all the time putting in a really tight ponytail. Tight ponytails are great every now and then, but if you, it actually affects your system when you're pulling your head that tight with your hair. So things like that can also really affect your mood and headaches. Pay attention if you're wearing really tight pants and it's, you got like a thing going into your stomach. Things like that actually really affect us. So pay attention to your bodies. I have John Lennon written down. I've obviously been a fan of his. I love the Beatles. I think the Beatles are incredible. And man, their message of be weird, be yourself, and it's all love still radiates to all of us. And he's someone who spoke out, and yet he had a past. I believe that he had a past where there was like a, he was like physically violent, I think, or maybe verbally, I don't know, in a past relationship. So it's like, look, we can all have pasts that we're not proud of and change and grow. And you don't have to necessarily go to jail to learn your lesson. I think jail is for people who really don't learn their lesson and don't stop certain cycles. They have to go because they're harmful to our society. And I just want to say that because I don't feel that Cardi B is harmful to our society currently. I fucking really like her music. And I can feel on the deepest level that she has such a kind heart. I really do on the deepest. I'm not saying that she ain't gangster. She ain't in a good way. You know what I mean? Like she obviously is tough. But I don't think she's still doing the drugging and robbing of men, whatever that means, because she didn't ever fully explain it, really. Elvis, I have written down, another fucking forward thinker. And let me tell you, a lot of these fucking pop stars, when they first came out, you know, people weren't, there were a lot of people who didn't like Elvis. They were like, who's this man gyrating his hips all over and doing movement of the devil? Like, people are so superstitious, people who say shit like that's of the devil. A lot of y'all don't even know what the devil really means. That's a lot of fear-based shit. We have the positive and negative once again. It's like a battery. Whatever. The devil. What does the devil really represent? I need to do a whole separate podcast for that when I'm ready. And I'd like to do that with someone else who has the knowledge of the tree of life and Oneg and Nega and all that stuff in general. But and I'm not saying there aren't negative spirits out there, but it's like, as long as you really walk a solid path and have an intention of healing and awakening and helping to serve this planet that's currently not being treated well at all. I mean, there's this video circulating on Facebook of just like loads of plastic trash in an ocean. And it's like, to look at it, like you almost want to throw up because it makes you so sad and sick, and to think of like how we're killing the oceans and the fish and the different marine life that live there. It's like, wake the fuck up. And there are so many cartoons and TV shows and movies that give us this message. So many. I mean, even Avengers Endgame and Infinity War. You know, Thanos is actually trying to save the resources throughout the universe. I'm not saying I like the way that he went about it. But like, even that message is trying to wake us up to the fact like, yo, you kill this planet, game over. Like, there's no more any kind of drama if you fucking kill the planet and kill the oceans. Like, what? Wake up, everyone. And I know the people listening are already awake because you wouldn't want to listen to this probably if you weren't. But it's like, we got to spread this word. I mean, it's shocking how many people watch these things and don't actually try to embody those lessons. Like Disney movies even have so much wisdom in them, even just about like following your dreams. And yet we watch them and go, oh, that was a nice movie. And then we go back to our lives of like littering and treating people like shit and not communicating and wondering why our bodies are breaking down or why we're still suffering depression. It's like, we're not speaking up. Even I still have trouble completely being vulnerable. But I'm trying. And part of that is allowing my inner bitch to come out more and more. I'm not the cute, sweet, always smiling girl I had to pretend to be growing up. You know, that's what I had to be to make everyone comfortable. Stop. We need to stop trying to make everyone fucking comfortable and just get real. Because reality and truth is what we actually desire. It's what we actually want. So, okay. I wrote down Tom Hanks just because I fucking love Tom Hanks. I mean, how can you not? He's one of the best actors of all times. Like, he's just amazing. And I just look forward to always seeing new movies from him. Like, I feel like I still am just like obsessed with Forrest Gump, one of the best fucking movies out there. And his character in Forrest Gump, it's like, talk about good character and intention. Like, that man was just always, even when he wasn't aware of the change or the inspiration he was giving to people, he just was. I love when he just started running and then everyone started following him and then he just stopped running when he's just, I don't know, one of my favorite movies. I wrote down Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby's interesting because The Cosby Show spoke to so many people and shaped so many people's lives and gave them hope. And then when the truth came out about the drugging and raping of women, it really, really crushed a lot of people, because when you look up to a person or their whole thing helps shape you, you almost don't know how to react. And I think it's totally okay to still hold the place of where his comedy helped shape you or whatever, but then still be like, yeah, but he was a monster too. You know, like, it's okay to not throw it all out. Same with Michael Jackson. Like, you can't deny how fucking talented he was and how good his music is. But then he was also a pedophile. I mean, if you can watch that documentary and still try to deny that, I don't know what to say. And Barbara Streisand got in trouble because she made a real insensitive comment, basically dismissing his behavior. Like, she's like, oh, I think he did it, but like, they're fine. She like completely dismissed the victims and like their pain and was like, you know, some people are into weird stuff sexually. Like, what? No. Like, if you somehow are attracted to little boys or girls, okay, you never ever act on that. You discuss it with a therapist, you go to a healer, you communicate it, but you never, ever sexually harm a child. Like, end of story. So she got a lot of backlash and then tried to obviously backpedal. But sometimes when you're famous for that long, you enter this bubble where you think you can say anything, and it's like, you'll quickly get checked nowadays. And a lot of people love calling like social media the devil and shit. It's the positive and the negative. There are negatives to social media and a shit ton of positives, like being able to spread the word, being able to communicate with activists all over the world. We can get out so many more stories. And, you know, Barbara Streisand got shut down real quick on Twitter. And I think that's a positive of social media. It's like, we ain't having shit like that anymore. We are speaking up. We are speaking up for victims, real victims, you know, people who've been really hurt, especially as children. And I'm seeing the positive changes in the world. And I can't wait till we all start really coming together. And also until we start really admitting that extraterrestrials are here and with us and that they're trying to fucking help evolve our technologies. Now, I might lose some people here, but it's like, if you're still in that kind of denial about aliens, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I mean, whatever. I had a crazy, amazing alien dream, actually, where this like liquid metal alien, I had contact with it. It was pretty fascinating. So hello to them. All right, I wrote down Judy Garland, one of my favorite actresses of all time. She is just an incredible singer, actress. I mean, I just needed to shout her out, I guess. Same with, I love Audrey Hepburn. Now, Jackie O was obviously not an actress, but I loved her style and the way she held herself. But once again, a lot of these people suffered and did not, because people will see, oh, look how beautiful she is. Look how well she sings. She has a lot of money, and then assume that they have these great lives. A lot of these famous, Marilyn Monroe, they battled deep, deep depression and addictions. So it's like, we have to stop assuming people's stories based on external appearances, and we have to feel deeper into it and communicate. I wrote down Britney Spears. Britney Spears is just one of the biggest, most beautiful stars walking this planet, who I think still has a lot of her story buried. I can feel that. And by the way, Wade Robson, who was one of the victims of Michael Jackson in the Leaving Neverland documentary, he's the dude that Britney cheated on Justin with. So it's interesting, this crazy connection of all these things. But you need to watch, if you put in Britney Spears Rihanna performance, they do this performance of S&M together, and it's amazing. Like, I'm obsessed with Rihanna, obsessed with Britney, and when they're together, you're just like, no, that's a fucking powerful performance. And this was like years and years ago, and at the end is when Britney comes out in this like insane, beautiful bunny, sexy bunny mask that I'm like, wait, Ariana totally stole that look from Britney. It's crazy. You got to watch this video. I'm like, what? She totally ripped off Britney's fucking look. Still a fan of Ariana, although, man, what's going on with her and Pete? I'm obviously not into the whole Pete, Kate Beckinsale thing. Kate Beckinsale is great. I'm not into Kate Beckinsale, but you can tell that both of those people are acting out like Pete has hurt her. She has hurt Pete. Like, she'll put out a song that you can tell hurts Pete, and then Pete will go and stick his tongue in Kate Beckinsale's mouth at a fucking game. I'm just like, okay, you know, I can very clearly see both sides and how they're hurting each other, but then both, you know, whatever. That's all I'll say. But that whole thing's going on. Oh, I wrote down Oprah because she's just a fucking queen supreme. Oprah is amazing. And talk about a whistleblower. That woman's been fighting for animal rights, people who've been sexually abused, physically abused. She's just someone who speaks out and doesn't also get swept up into anyone's drama. She just knows who she is. You can tell she's wearing her crown. She is a goddess. She's amazing. If I meet her one day, oh my God, I would pass out. She is just unreal. So I think that's the way to be. Standing in your power with grace. You know what I mean? Like, she whistleblows, but not in a way that, like, I think she does it very beautifully. She's an incredible woman, and she's inspired me over and over. Okay, I have Amy Winehouse written down because what a soulful voice she had. She was someone who very openly struggled with addiction. What I liked about her is how honest her life was. She never pretended to be something she wasn't, but it was very sad how her life ended. I was always a fan. She always inspired me. Her music was just straight from the soul. I'm still just a fan of her music, and I still mourn the fact that her life ended way too early. I'm also a fan of Lana Del Rey. I've loved her music for a while, but you can see, and look, it's none of my business. Any of you who want to get plastic surgery, like, you have to make your own decisions. But I just have to say, like, it's time we start loving our bodies. Look, you really want to get plastic surgery? Do it. Whatever. But, like, and I bring it up because, you know, Lana has clearly altered her face. And she still looks gorgeous. But, like, she didn't need to alter it at all. She's stunning. And that's what makes me sad, is when so many beautiful people can't see their own beauty. And I mean, it's same with Michael Jackson. We saw it happen with his face. He was always beautiful, always. And then you could see his like self-hate and all the stuff he was doing to these children. It was like eating him alive, you know? So I would love to see something shift where plastic surgery is saved for children born with cleft lips and situations like that. But once again, I'm not anti-plastic surgery. People have to make the decisions they want, but I feel like there's been this shift where it's become this like normal thing to just alter your body. And I want to see a shift where we're taught to love our bodies, all shapes, all sizes, before you go right to that. And we have certain role models, though, out there, like the Kardashians. And look, I'm not a fan in a sense, but there's a lot of fakery and facades that go on. And yet they, you know, no matter what fakery you put out there, the drama and the pain still comes through. But like, I just think it's time that we put out a message where it's loving our bodies, loving our souls, and being honest. Even if we think we're going to be judged for what we actually look like or what's actually going on in our lives, because it's often not as pretty as we do, as we put it out on social media. It's okay to put out pretty pictures of yourself. That's the other thing. It's okay to feel sexy. It's okay to feel good. Like, that's great. I just want to see ourselves feeling good in our own skin and, and having most of the time, like, surgery is getting cut. They're cutting into your body, people. Like, it's serious shit. So, like, I want to see surgery save for people who, like, have, like, life-threatening conditions. Who, like, we have people all over the world who are not getting the surgeries they need, you know? And I would like us to start shifting our collective mindset and more, you know, there are people who need water. There are people who don't even have access to water that we still need to take care of. So, and I think I've said this before, I definitely have. When I first got divorced and I didn't really know what to do with this extra time, because before that I was with Shane 24/7 and now I only had him joint custody. He was two. Very hard to be away from him at that time when he was two. It was actually very traumatic. But I had this extra time, so I started volunteering with this charity called Charity Water, founded by Scott Harrison. He was this club promoter for years, but just never felt fulfilled. He had a ton of money and hot chicks and all that stuff. And then he knew he needed a life change. And he started this charity, Charity Water, where they literally raise money to go and build. Now I'm going to forget what you call the actual. Well, I think it's more than like wells. But, you know, they go to these places that don't have access to clean water and they build a whole infrastructure for these villages so the town can have clean water. And I mean, that to me is like where we should be putting our energy. And that's a hero. And obviously, you can also put your energy into going to fun things too, like comedy seance, dance parties, healing. Like, it's, you know, but we definitely want to make sure that the whole world has access to things like water and life-threatening surgeries that they need. Don't even get me started on the healthcare system and fucking Trump trying to like get rid of Medicare and Medicaid. Like, what a heartless son of a bitch. This man who has fucking, he was born with fucking millions wanting to take away healthcare from people who he can't even imagine their lives. I mean, what a fucking son of a bitch, if you want to be honest. Like, and a sexual predator, like, which I need to state over and over as I watch this man walk through the world. This man should probably be in prison if he were fairly tried, but whatever. Not whatever, but whatever. So, yeah, I mean, if you're that wealthy and you have this attitude of like trying to take away Medicaid and Medicare and programs like that for people who, like, he has no idea what it's like to come through life not having all that shit just given to him or to you or whatever. I mean, I'm just not a fan. And I love some, there was this like dude who like put this big thing on his car, like a huge decal where it's like, Trump won, get over it. Fuck you. No, it's not like it's not being a sore loser. It's having a leader of your country who is actually a predator and denies global warming. He's harming us as a collective. It's not get over it. Those of us who really, truly want to make a difference, we're not going to get over it. We're going to keep fighting. So, you know, just everyone keep going. It's not always the easiest of times. Things continue to surface for all of us, including our own places and stuff within that have kept us held back. Like fear around being who we really are, fear of speaking up, fear of creating boundaries. You know, many people didn't create boundaries around Trump and tried, probably thought they had to kiss his ass. You know, I'm talking about even before the presidency. It's like, you don't have to kiss anyone's ass, no matter how much money they have, what their position is, how many other people, quote unquote, like them. I mean, who cares? A lot of people are fake, unfortunately, but hopefully we're here to break through that. And I just want to give another shout out to Charity Water and organizations like that. There's another organization that I actually follow online. It's the Impact Network. I want to like get their exact thing. They help to try to bring, it's the Impact Network. They're bringing education to rural Africa because they believe everyone deserves access to quality education. Beautiful. Like, that's the kind of shit I need to see happening in the world. That is fucking beautiful. So you can follow them also. They don't even know I'm shouting them out, but I mean, why wouldn't I? Impact Network, bringing education and access to education everywhere. Like, that's where we should be putting our energy. And you can still be hot. You can still be sexy. If you really feel like you need plastic surgery, like I said, do you. I just want to see a movement of us loving ourselves and our bodies and accepting, like I said, all different body types, because all body types are beautiful. Seriously, big butts, not big butts, big boobs, small boobs, everything's beautiful. Same with dudes, whatever, different bodies. You know what I mean? Like, you can be beautiful in your body. I want to see the movement of claiming that. So thank you all so much for listening. Come to Comedy Seance this Sunday, 6 o'clock, New York Comedy Club's 4th Street location, promo seance. It's going to be a fun freaking time. Like I said, I think there's going to be a special guest. It's not confirmed, but I hope so. And then let's see. I'm going to be at the Tropicana, Atlantic City Comedy Club, April 19th and 20th, a 7 and a 9 o'clock show. Promo, I forgot the fucking promo again. I think it's like promo Wolf or Kate. I'm going to look it up right now as I talk to you guys. Sorry that I like do this, but I'm going to find it right now. Okay. Oh, code Kate, K-A-T-E. Okay, easy enough. So code Kate for, I believe it's 20% off. Tickets. So come hang with me in fucking Atlantic City, April 19th and 20th. 420. Coincidence? There are none. Okay. And also Miss Wolf's art class is April 27th, 10 to 3. You get my address once you buy tickets. It's incredible. We create art together. We do some other spiritual explorations that we open up before we get into the painting. So hope to see you there. I'm trying to think what else. I think that's good for now. Thank you all so much for listening. And my heart is with all of you as you continue your brave journey, going within, discovering truth at whatever cost. So namaste. Bye.